This is The Takeaway with Tanzina Vega from WNYC and PRI in collaboration with WGBH Radio in Boston.
I said no to the Super Bowl. You need me, I don't need you. Every night we in the end zone. Tell the NFL we in stadiums too.
Last week, the NFL and Jay-Z announced the deal in which the hip-hop mogul's company would serve as the entertainment strategist for the football league. The move sparked a heated debate, with many calling into question Jay-Z's motives, including current NFL player Eric Reid, who has kneeled in protest during the national anthem over the past few seasons. Prior to this, Jay-Z had expressed public support for NFL players protesting police brutality against people of color, including former San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick, who first took a knee in 2016.
Colin Kaepernick, the 49ers quarterback, has refused to stand through the first three preseason games during the national anthem.
And he's receiving heavy boos here.
Kaepernick saying, quote, "I'm not going to stand up to show pride in a flag for a country that oppresses black people and people of color."
Since then, Kaepernick has not been signed to any NFL team. Jay-Z says his NFL deal doesn't mean he's turning his back on Kaepernick or other NFL protesters.
I think we take it back. I think that we forget that Colin's whole thing was to bring attention to social injustice, correct? In that case, right, this is a success, right? Because there's two parts of protesting. You go outside and you protest, and then the company or the individual say, "I hear you, what do we do next?" Right, so for me, it was like action, actionable item. What are we gonna do with it?
To help break down the issues, I'm joined by two guests, Michael Fletcher, a senior writer with ESPN's The Undefeated, and Harry Edwards, a sociologist and civil rights activist who has worked in sports activism for decades. But before discussing the future of this movement in sports activism, I asked Michael to give us the details of this deal between Jay-Z's company Roc Nation and the NFL.
Well, Roc Nation is going to sort of help produce the Super Bowl halftime show, among other things, sort of help the NFL with its entertainment portfolio. You know, as you recall, ever since the cap protest started, the NFL has had some trouble attracting kind of top acts, including Jay-Z himself, to do the Super Bowl show, which is to be seen as kind of a premium platform for entertainers. So that's one thing. And also, Roc Nation is supposed to help with the NFL's social justice outreach.
So when we say social justice outreach, I'd love to understand a little bit about what that means. I mean, the NFL, we should remind our listeners that they've been under scrutiny, as you mentioned, since the Colin Kaepernick protests and since he was taking a knee. He has yet to be signed by any NFL teams. And this just sort of brought the issue of social injustice, particularly against Black Americans, to the forefront of the NFL. So what has the NFL done so far, Michael, and what is this supposed to do for social justice, this new deal?
Well, some time ago, the NFL agreed with the Players Coalition to fund sort of an array of kind of social programs. The NFL owners put up, you know, close to $90 million in conjunction with the Players Coalition, which is run by Malcolm Jenkins and some other retired players. They're doing an entire array of kind of social programs, if you will, youth outreach, that sort of thing, the kind of thing you'd expect a city government perhaps to do, or, you know, rec departments around the country to do. So the NFL was kind of lending some of a little bit of its money and its name to that effort. But that effort was kind of seen as suspect by some because of the continuing plight of Kaepernick. And there was a lot of tension between the Players Coalition and sort of the inner circle of Kaepernick supporters. So I think the NFL is hoping that Roc Nation's involvement here will kind of lend, you know, for lack of a better term, a kind of a seal of approval to its efforts and kind of get kind of a halo effect from it.
Michael, I want to talk a little bit more about the relationship between Kaepernick and Jay-Z in just a minute. But first, Harry, you have worked in sports activism for decades. You've created, essentially originated the study of the sociology of sports. When you heard about the Jay-Z deal with the NFL, what were your initial thoughts?
I thought it was great. I think that we need to get this situation under control in terms of this constantly shifting focus to who's singing the national anthem and who's doing the halftime show and who isn't, because that's not what it's about. It is not about the anthem. I wouldn't care if they got Roseanne Barr and Carl Lewis to do a duet singing the anthem. I wouldn't care about that. What I'm concerned about are issues of social justice. And every time the issue becomes who's going to do the halftime show or who has turned them down, we move away from that focus. And I think that Jay-Z has the artistic chops to put together programs that both deal with social justice issues to the extent that that is a priority of a halftime show, and also remove that focus of who's going to be there, who's not going to be there. I don't care who's there at the halftime show. What I'm concerned about is not being able to get in my car and drive to the store and come back home without some fear that I'm going to be shot on the way. Somebody asked me if I was concerned about the possibility of protests at the first preseason game this year. Was I concerned about protests during the anthem? No, I wasn't concerned about protests during the anthem. I was concerned about being shot on the way to the game or on the way home. So we can be honest even when our perspectives are not correct. I think that it's a step forward. I simply hope that it works out.
But to your point, yesterday Jay-Z said, and I'm quoting him here, "We're past kneeling and it's time for action." Harry, what's your reaction to that statement? I mean, is that an unfair characterization about what the kneeling protest was meant to do? And is he right? Is Jay-Z right when he says we're past that?
Yeah, he's absolutely right. It's past time for us to move on and become involved with action. And kneeling was a gesture of protest. Now it comes down to how do we begin to move to resolve the issue. There were seven athletes kneeling last year in the NFL, and if it were not for the current occupant of the White House who put the whole kneeling movement on life support, it probably would have been in the rearview mirror by now. As to the Kaepernick issue and the fact that he is not in the league, look, again, we can be honest even when we're not right. 32 starters, 32 backups, and 32 clipboard holders are supposed to be so much better than Kaepernick that he doesn't even get a look. A man who took his team to the Super Bowl, to two conference championships, and one of the highest rated quarterbacks in 49er history in terms of his production. Come on, give me a break. That's nonsense. We need to be honest about that. But that is not Jay-Z's focus. That is not his job. That's a struggle for someone else to undertake. I think that Jay-Z's statement was absolutely correct, and I think it's headed in the right direction.
Michael, I want to bring you back in here because Colin Kaepernick, really with the kneeling, started this conversation in the NFL, and he doesn't seem to be, at least from what we're aware of, doesn't seem to be part of this partnership. Can you explain to us why that is?
Well, I think Harry touched on it. It's the fact that he's continuing to be blackballed by the NFL. And you hear that from his closest supporters, you know, the Eric Reeds, Kenny Stills, people who feel like the NFL's social justice work is kind of hypocritical so long as Cap is being kind of shut out of the league. I'm not sure I agree with that. I agree with almost everything Harry said, except for that bit about Roseanne Barr and Carl Lewis singing the anthem being okay. I mean, I think that would be a disaster on many fronts, but I agree with everything he said. I mean, and this comes down to, well, you know, what is this about? Is this about Cap, a man who can fend for himself? And Cap, he's made a sacrifice, and I think no one would argue, maybe the owners would, but they wouldn't be right that Cap isn't good enough to play in the NFL anymore. I mean, certainly, I think, is one of the, you know, top 70 quarterbacks on the planet. You know, some teams carry three quarterbacks, some carry two. But putting that aside, is the movement about Kaepernick, or is it about the issues that he tried to bring into the limelight by kneeling in the first place?
And, you know, Michael, to that point, I mean, Jemele Hill recently just wrote about this in The Atlantic, and she says, you know, while she does talk a lot about both of their contributions to the movement, she does, and I'm quoting, she says, "Jay-Z isn't getting enough out of the deal to justify the sacrifice of some of his credibility." Your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't know what he's supposed to get out of the deal, I guess. I don't know exactly what Jamel means by that. It feels to me like we have to move beyond this idea of perpetual protest and the idea of protesting being a virtue unto itself. And, you know, protesting is a tactic. You want to protest to call attention to something. And once you've called attention to something, you want to try to do something about it. So the idea of, like, somehow being pure by continuing to protest, I don't know that I buy that line of thinking. And it's hard for me to know what Jay-Z is supposed to get out of it. I mean, Jay-Z just was the executive producer on this Amazon series that's talking about Meek Mill's journey through the criminal justice system, which I think speaks to a lot of African-American men, and particularly in this country. For an entertainer, he's done a lot on the social justice front. He's one man. I don't think it's his fight alone. He's doing his part. And I think it's incumbent on all of us to sort of do our part. And if we did that, I think, we'd see this issue lifted up and probably dealt with a lot, in a lot more efficiently.
Harry, Patriots owner Robert Kraft apparently played a role in making this partnership happen. Kraft, of course, is a friend of the president, of Donald Trump. As you mentioned earlier, Donald Trump essentially, in your opinion, squashed a lot of the protest movement that we saw on the ground. What are your thoughts on Robert Kraft's role here in making this happen?
Well, anytime people who are in an adversarial position with you do anything that you can turn to your interest, then you always welcome that. I don't think that Donald Trump so much squashed the movement as he inflamed and fueled it, because the reality was that it was losing steam in 2018. I think also it's important that we understand that there's always this tendency for people to refocus not upon the initial goals and issues that were involved in these types of movements, but on the latest shiny object. So this time around, it happens to be Jay-Z and this deal. For quite a period of time, as the movement began to fade, it came down to whether or not Cap had a job. I mean, at the end of the day, we need to focus on what the goals are. My basic instincts tell me if Kraft had his way, we'd be looking at Hank Williams Jr. in that position rather than Jay-Z. So at the end of the day, I'm not concerned. Way to go, Robert. And I hope you do well in terms of your own issues.
Well, you've also played, Harry, you've played a huge role in the history of activism in sports, not just generally in civil rights, but really when it comes to this movement. You've helped lead the activism that we saw in 1968 during the Olympics. How would you compare what you're seeing today to what happened then?
Well, this is simply another phase of a movement that has been going on since the turn of the 20th century. Whether we're looking at Jack Johnson and Jesse Owens, Joe Louis, the Negro Leagues, Paul Robeson, we have to understand that Plessy versus Ferguson, which set up so-called separate but equal, even though that term's nowhere in the Supreme Court edict, was not about setting up separate but equal institutions, facilities, opportunities, and so forth. It was about pushing black people back as close to slavery, to the subsistence, subjugation of slavery as possible without calling it that. And so the Negro Leagues, Jack Johnson, Jesse Owens, that was part of a resistance movement. Then in the post-World War II years, you had Jackie Robinson. That was framed up not by object segregation, but by an effort at desegregation. Then you had in 68 the Black Power movement, which framed up a movement that was about dignity and respect. And even though we had access, there was no dignity and respect in our activities. And then you have this fourth wave, which is a struggle for definitional authority. What Kaepernick was saying, and I counseled Kaepernick when he was a member of the 49ers locker room. What Kaepernick was saying was, police shootings are not justifiable homicide. It's summary executions under cover of the badge. We need to face the fact that 147 black men, women, and children shot down by police in the streets of this city, most of them unarmed, is unacceptable. We're better than that. That's what Kaepernick was saying. Now we're into a fifth wave, which is really framed up by the Me Too movement, and so you begin to see these women athletes stepping up and making statements. So what we're looking at now is not something that's unique. It's not something that's unheard of. It's part of the American effort to create that more perfect union. I mean, Sam Adams and his Sons of Liberty movement was not a government program. Neither was the abolitionist movement or the labor movement or the civil rights movement or the women's suffrage movement or the environmental movement or the gay rights movement or the Black Lives Matter movement or the Me Too movement. This is we the people. And that's what Kaepernick was a part of. That's what this is a part of. I couldn't care less who was the halftime program, but it tended to shift our focus away from these issues of social justice and gender equality.
Michael, I want to close with your thoughts on some of that. I mean, I think we should note that there are folks that are criticizing Jay-Z for getting involved in this with the NFL, and they're looking at it as a money deal, really. But we should also note that Colin Kaepernick himself signed a Nike sponsorship deal. So I guess my question is, do these marketing partnerships that both Jay-Z and Kaepernick have entered into dilute the broader movement, in your opinion?
I would think not, but I would also add this. I think Kaepernick, he's had this kind of cryptic message. You know, he sort of talks through other people on social media, and it kind of puts him in a kind of holier-than-thou position when it comes to that. But I think that misses the point. I think he, Jay-Z, they're both moving and sort of trying to move the focus in the right direction. They're trying to get these issues, you know, brought into the sports arena where a lot of Americans go for, you know, just for relief from the daily stresses, but they kind of brought these issues in front of them, and by doing that, elevated these issues and made them, you know, urgent in people's minds. And I think that's something that's to their credit. And I don't think this is diluted because one guy happens to overprice jerseys for Nike or you know, another guy's doing, you know, halftime shows for the NFL. I don't think that dilutes it per se. So I tip my cap to both of them.
Michael Fletcher is a senior writer at ESPN's The Undefeated, and Dr. Harry Edwards is a sociologist and civil rights activist. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.